A local art residency program has been host to a number of important and emerging artists for almost two decades, and most recently has supported the work of an artist whose medium is moving pictures. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today has been the latest artist to find sanctuary and some breathing space to pursue their work at the Border Art Residency in La Union, New Mexico. Kathy Lee Crane is a filmmaker and an associate professor of film at Ithaca College, and for the better part of the last year has been conceiving and producing new work in and around the borderland. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, how are you, Charles?
Thanks for coming in your pastoral setting out there at the Border Art Residency.
It is pastoral and lately has had quite a bit of wind as well.
Right. So. You just got to experience our dust season. I wanted to say that for those listeners that aren't familiar, the Border Art Residency has been out in La Union for almost two decades now and was the brainchild of Ray Parrish, former professor here in sculpture at the art school, and his wife, Becky Hendrick. It's an amazing program that, I guess, for 10 months each year allows a visiting artist just to have peace and quiet to really focus on their art. Has that been important to your work?
Well, first of all, it's a 2,000-square-foot loft on the top floor of an old cotton gin. So
right.
There's something about the space in and of itself, and the light for a filmmaker, obviously, very mm-hmm. important every single night. But yeah, I start most of my work through reading and hope that most of my work inspires others to read. So I start with a historical set of questions. So it's been extremely great that that historical set of questions is rooted in the construction and the survey of the borderline that runs from El Paso all the way west to the Pacific Ocean.
Of course.
Ultimately sort of oriented around the problem of the line, and I'm in the lower valley, Mesilla Valley essentially, or the Canutillo Valley I've mm-hmm. come to understand, which became the disputed territory when they were surveying the line between 1850 and 1853 because they couldn't decide on the initial point. Hmm. So that, to me, conceptually is very interesting. What is the initial point of a surveyed line?
And you're from New York, correct?
Well, I was born in Arizona, actually.
Oh, so you've come a long ways to get back.
It's true. It's been really great to be back in the desert. I'd forgotten how quiet it is.
But teaching and working in New York, being back, I guess it's completely different reading about the border and conceiving this work as opposed to actually living within sight of this disputed area that you're talking about.
Right. And my first project was about Columbus, New Mexico and Pancho Villa's raid there mm-hmm. in 1916. So I was taking the hour and 15-minute drive all the way out to Columbus from El Paso. So that was on Route 9, where you pass an abandoned speedway just outside of the Santa Teresa crossing.
Right.
So I've come to know that road.
You were the first resident there in almost two decades that primarily works in moving pictures, which I was so excited to hear that this year's resident was going to be a filmmaker, because while the Border Art Residency has had artists who create sometimes video installations of their work, that's not their primary focus. And your primary focus is as an artist using film and the language of video and moving pictures to explore lots of subjects like the ones you've just been talking about. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your approach. You're looking at historical things, but through a very different lens than I think we would normally think of as documentary, traditional documentary approach. Could you talk a little bit about your work and kind of how you put that together and how it relates to this Columbus project?
I like to think of my work as speculative history. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like that is that it's sort of a philosophical set of questions. So for me, I start with the archive and I start with records. So people's stories, people analysis, whatever I'm able to find. And Columbus began for me having worked on a film about World War I. And that is there in looking at the archive. National Archive in particular had all this public domain material, which included material of the U.S. Army in the desert. And I was like, what was that all about? Well, it was the Pershing punitive expedition, which followed this raid,
right.
The Villa raid. So I wanted to make a film exploring the not the aftermath, but the way in which there are traces, perhaps, of this historical event. And as it turns out, there's not only traces, there's actually a couple events that commemorate that raid, and a debate in a very small town about how to do that.
Yes.
In one case, it's a memorial. In the other case, it's a two-week cabalgata of Mexican riders coming up from the south and crossing the line. Mm-hmm. And is that a celebration, or is that they describe it now as a binational event of reconciliation?
And of course, as you know, so many people, including myself, draw their family histories back to that moment in time. My great-grandfather actually came here with Pershing, and my family tree may not be in El Paso if it weren't for that event.
Well, yeah. So it's actually this really interesting point, because when you talk about a line, you're talking about a bisection of something, mm-hmm. and you're talking about a here and there, and there's a whole set of binaries that...
And that line is man-made.
Yes, it's surveyed, and it's, you know, fairly random. And the more time I've spent in the borderlands, and I've gone as far west as Tijuana, but most of my work has gotten as far as Douglas, where I've mm-hmm. spent some time with a number of people, including these four nuns in Douglas who are actually activists for migrants crossing over, getting caught in the Sonoran Desert. And so what I've done is, on the one hand, I'm, yes, doing a documentary, somewhat more conventional documentary about Columbus, about the present day there and the traces of history that run through that town. But I've also been doing profiles, which I hope, along in the borderlands, that will seed maybe four episodes for a larger miniseries about the borderlands. And there I'm not as interested in the line. I'm more interested in geographical maps that mm-hmm. in fact exist and precede any kind of line. So, for instance, the Mesilla Valley or the Sonoran Desert or the Imperial Valley. As it turns out, most people I've met in the borderlands are storytellers.
Right.
They have a lot to say. They're super excited that I'm not just a BBC. I come in, I get a soundbite, and I leave. Mm-hmm. I actually want to know how they live, what they do in a day. I like watching what people do. So in a way, my practice has also been hybrid insofar as sometimes I have people do things, show me things that they do. And in fact, acting is the reality of doing.
Right.
According to Sanford Meisner.
That's a good term, hybrid. I was thinking of that word yesterday looking at some of your past work. These are hybrid films where you often mix historical archival footage with reenactments or staged events. Is that the same for Columbus? Are you weaving in past and present? And
well, I didn't need
interviews?
To stage anything. The cabalgata came over with two
right.
guys as Pancho Villa. I was like, well, that's
beautiful. They
were already
in character, right?
I was attuned to their form of manifestation.
But is that history. Part of what intrigues you about history is, you know, we think of it as monolithic, but it really isn't. And are you creating some sort of dialogue in your films to break down how flexible memory and history are?
Well, not even flexible, but incomplete.
Right.
So, I mean, once you start looking at the archive, you realize that, in fact, there's so much of the record that's missing, and it is already partial, like daily life, for example. So there's big, huge master events, but there's smaller lived reality that occurs. So, yes, I'm interested in filling out the archive, basically. And so it's not so much reenactment as it is sort of an interpretation of mm-hmm. a set of questions. So, for instance, I did a Pasolini film, and I was interested in the questions around how one becomes indoctrinated by or towards sort of an homogenized way of being, a social being, and a set of questions that Pasolini had around that. So I started to do a set of repetitions to look at whether or not the body of an actor or anyone could mimic a pre-existing image, like are we molded by advertising, for example?
Is there a feedback loop between
right.
what we see and how we act?
Exactly. And so that shapes us. But it also revealed to me that there's no way to have an exact replication if you're talking about human beings.
Interesting.
Because our bodies are distinct, as it turns out.
These are all high art terms, and you're using film, which is usually not thought of as a high art, but I believe it is. And it's appropriate that this coming Thursday you'll be screening your work in progress at the El Paso Museum of Art. tell me a little bit about that. You'll be there to present the work at 5:30, is that right?
I am going to, it's like a 15-minute work in progress of Columbus, because it's currently in post-production, and also an example of some of these borderland profiles I've been acquiring for the Seated miniseries, and I'll talk more about my creative process.
And there'll be an artist reception afterwards so people can meet you and discuss firsthand what you're working on. And that's, so it's not just the work in progress of Columbus, but this broader interview project, Drawing the Line, which you'll also have some footage there from that.
Yeah.
Looking at your work, I'm just really fascinated where you got started, because I think most people would have to categorize it under the experimental avant-garde tradition in alternative cinema. Where did that start for you? I mean, I assume you grew up like all of us watching TV and regular movies, but at some point, did you just come across some experimental films?
Yeah,
and think,
then I went to Sarah Lawrence College,
oh, okay.
And that's all I really had to do.
It.
Yeah, so I took an, I was studying philosophy, so I was like all the way into, you know, Hegel. Yeah, so I took one class with Marjorie Keller, who was an experimental filmmaker, and she introduced me to the work of Maya Deren. And that changed everything for me because it was she was able to use actual locations to articulate something that seemed to me a more sort of psychic geography. Mm-hmm. So I became interested in, well, a form of feminism, actually, and how to enact alternative histories, yeah, ultimately. And that came from my philosophical thing, actually.
Which
but also
perfectly
I gather,
aligned to cinema, too.
Yeah, I gather. Sometimes I hunt. Sometimes I say, this is the thing I'm going to gather, and I get it. Mm-hmm. And I always get something different than I intended, and that's sort of intrinsic to the process of producing images, which is that there's no way you can know how reality, for lack of a better word, will present itself to the camera. Mm.
And you're also editing these works, so it's also, you may think you captured something, but then when you spend all those long nights in the editing, you may find some other story or some other amazing thing that passed you in the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that there's a point at which a director has to give way to authority of any kind and approach the material itself to serve it. What does the material itself say? And that is always very exciting. So I've built a kind of more poetic approach to sequencing images. And so in a way, the line is a perfect conceptual apparatus for me because I've been concerned with how history and stories are, in fact, not linear. So in fact, off of this surveyed line, for example, there are any number of histories that are making their way through it, precede it.
It's more of a spine that a lot of things are connected.
Indeed.
If people are intrigued by what we're talking about and want to see some of your actual work and can't make it to the Art Museum on Thursday, I did want to point out you have a Vimeo site that has a lot of your experimental films, your shorts. What's the easiest thing? Just go to Vimeo and type in your name, Kathy Lee Crane.
I think that's what it is. It could be C. Crane, but I think it is Kathy Lee Crane.
Kathy with a C.
With a C.
Lee, L-E-E. Crane, and you have a great gallery of short films there. Very quickly, this isn't the only project you've got. You helped initiate a project with some Juarez artists, and that's going to be opening at the Rubin Center, I believe, on May the 14th. If you could say briefly a little bit about what that collaboration was about.
Well, it's part of a large global project that was inaugurated by the German filmmaker Harun Faroki, a seminal documentary filmmaker, essay documentary filmmaker, and his partner Anja Amon. And they produced all these workshops in various cities and asked the participants to make a document of labor to watch in a single shot of no longer than 2 minutes. A moment of the gestural repetition, perhaps, within labor and work. So that is actually online. It's an uncurated database of labor from around the world. So this is an installment from Ciudad Juarez.
Yeah, and those will be installed at the Rubin Center for the Visual Arts coming up here on May 14th. Well, Kathy, it's always great to talk to an artist and particularly a filmmaker. So thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Charles.
My guest today has been artist and filmmaker Kathy Lee Crane. For most of the past year, Crane has been the artist in residence at the Border Art Residency in La Union. Among the works she has produced is an experimental documentary called Columbus and the beginning of a series titled Drawing the Line about the creation of the U.S.-Mexico border. This work in progress will be screened next Thursday at 5:30 p.m. at the El Paso Museum of Art with an artist reception to follow, and admission is free. Crane has also initiated a collaborative video project with art students in Juarez as part of the global project Labor in a Single Shot. This collection of videos of manual labors in Juarez will be on display at the Rubin Center for the Visual Arts May 14th through June 8th. For more information and gallery times, log on to rubin.utep.edu. On Film's producers, Lauren Terrazas, an archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.